Amen. Let me just say thank you for your investment into kingdom work, just apart from what God is doing at Lamar. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, thank you for giving to the cooperative program whereby your investment, you are impacting thousands of lives, specifically in Texas, let alone around the world. And the Tarrant Association, we have 96 associations around the state of Texas in whom our local churches are investing in that work. So thank you for what you're doing in and through the Tarrant Association. As has already been mentioned, this is the final message of a four-week series called Now What? Preparing for a new season or a new territory or a new frontier. And this is my last Sunday with you. And so I appreciate the invitation by your elders to come and to be a part of what God is doing during this time of transition. Honored to be able to stand in this pulpit and preach to you and for you. So if you will take your Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 1, we're going to read the first 9 verses by way of introduction. I know we've read this text every week, but again, it's by way of introduction. We don't have this text on the screen, but you can direct your attention to your Bible or to your device. But let's all stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all the people, and here's a key phrase, prepare to cross over the Jordan River to the land I am giving the Israelites. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. Your territory will be from the wilderness in Lebanon to the great river, the Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites, and west to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or abandon you. And here's where we're going to focus today, beginning in verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left so that you will have success wherever you go. Verse 8, this book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Verse 9, haven't I commanded you? There it is again. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's pray together one more time. God, I pray in the next few moments you would stir our hearts to understand what it means to be a courageous leader and what this church needs, not only during this time of transition, but in the life of their new pastor, whom you're going to lead to this church in the coming months. So I pray that you would let us understand how these traits were manifest in Joshua as he's taking over the reins from Moses. So God, speak to our hearts as we open ourselves up to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody agreed and said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As you well know, over the last few weeks, this is the first time you've been here in the last 4 weeks, we've been paralleling God's people preparing to enter the land of promise, the promised land that was promised to them hundreds of years before, but now they're finally making the trek across the Jordan River into the land of promise. We're paralleling what they did to prepare to what you need to do as a church to prepare for this new season. Not only as you embrace a new pastor, but even during this time of transition. And hopefully, prayerfully, there's a stirring in your soul that God is up to something. I'm guessing that's why you're here, because you believe God is still working at Lamar and through your leadership and through the ministries that you have. So there's a stirring in your soul that God is up to something. It could be that God is moving some of you as individuals and maybe as families into a new frontier, a new season, whether it be work-related, a family situation, a geographical move, but you know that something's up and God is stirring something up in you. It could be that you're here this morning morning and you've yet to step across the line of faith. You've never taken a moment to confess Jesus is Lord and Savior. And maybe through this series, maybe what's happening through the ministry of this church, you realize that you're a sinner separated from God. The Bible says you're alienated and hostile toward God, as we all were as we're born into sin. But you realize that Jesus of Nazareth is the only Savior, so that you can have abundant life and eternal life. Maybe that's the stirring in your soul. It could be that you, as a Christ follower, as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, you've kind of become complacent in your walk with Christ, and there's been some apathy in your passion toward the Lord, and God is awakening you to something more fulfilling and effectual. But certainly, as we would all agree, that's why I'm here these 4 weeks, because this is a new season for the Lamar Baptist Church as you await a new pastor. And you need to be ready. That's the whole idea behind this series, that you're placing yourself in a position to be used by God even during the transition. And how do we do that? Well, week one, we talked about the need to consecrate ourselves, to cleanse ourselves. Remember in Joshua 3:5, Joshua says, consecrate yourself, because tomorrow the Lord is going to do wonders among you. And to consecrate yourself means that you are setting yourself apart for the purposes of God, that you, as a temple of the Holy Spirit, you're not defiled, that you are living in obedience and righteousness. And we understood that God uses clean vessels, that God longs to pour His power through a body that is spiritually prepared. In two different instances, remember, 4 weeks ago, we looked at how God told Joshua to consecrate, for the people to consecrate themselves. But even back in the book of Deuteronomy, look at this, Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 14. This is what Moses said: because the Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you and to give up your enemies before you. Therefore, look at this, your camp must be holy, so that he may not see anything indecent among you and turn away from you. So we, first step is to consecrate ourselves, get ourselves ready spiritually. The second thing is to commune with God. If you're going to go to a new territory, it's imperative that you hear from God and you follow God. 2 weeks ago, we looked at how the Israelites were to follow the Ark of the Covenant, which was the manifest presence of God, the expression of God's presence among them, but they were to stay 1,000 yards behind it. Now, realize that 2 weeks ago, 2,000 years ago, because of what Jesus did, we now don't have to walk far behind God. We get to walk with God. We get to commune with Him, the creator of the universe. And the two words that describe communion, or to commune, is intensity and intimacy. And hopefully that's what you're experiencing in your walk with Christ. And the third thing is what we talked about last week, is to claim the promise. The promise for the Israelites, the people of God, was what? The land. We read in the opening 5 verses. He said, I've given you the land. It's already yours. There's no debate. Yeah, it's going to take battle after battle, but this is the land that I promised to Abraham hundreds of years before. For us, the promise is what? That Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. And aren't you thankful for that? And the privilege that we have to be involved in claiming that promise, that Christ is going to build His church and use us in the process by making disciples, by expressing the glory of God through our worship. But here's what else we need if we're going to move into new territory, and this is on what I want to focus over the next few minutes. It's courageous leadership. Courageous leadership. Can you imagine what it must have been like to take over the reins of leadership from Moses? I mean, everybody's heard of Moses, how he went before Pharaoh and demanded that he let God's people go, how God used him to initiate the 10 plagues, to part the Red Sea, to institute miracles in the wilderness, how God gave him the law and the 10 commandments. And now here is Joshua leading God's people into the promised land after Moses had led them for 40 years. Maybe, and we see this in some of this encouragement that God is giving him, maybe he felt a little unqualified, a little anxious, maybe in a little over his head. He may have felt a little bit like Charlie Brown. How many of you remember Charlie Brown? That means you're old. So Joshua may have felt like Charlie Brown when one day Lucy Linus and Charlie were laying down on the grass and looking up into the sky and saw these puffy cloud formations. And Lucy asked Linus, "Linus, what do you see?" And Linus said one formation reminded him of Stephen, the first martyr being stoned to death in Acts chapter 7. He looked over there and he said, "Well, this reminds me of British Honduras." And then he looked over at another formation and he said, that reminds me of the woman in the blue hat by Pablo Picasso. When Lucy asked Charlie Brown what he saw in the clouds, he said, "Well, I was going to say a horsey and a ducky, but after that, I ain't saying nothing." Can you imagine again the intimidation that Joshua may have felt? Remember back in Deuteronomy 31, when Moses is passing the baton to Joshua, he tells him on more than one occasion, "Be strong and courageous." And here in the first few verses of Joshua, on four different occasions, we see where Joshua is being told what? Be strong and courageous. Look at the first time, verse 6. This is what God is telling him, "Be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them." He said, "Joshua, you're the one who's going to lead my people to finally claim this promise." He says it again in verse 7. And then in verse 9, we read a little bit ago. Look at this again. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Now, why would God say that incessantly? Why would others say this to Joshua incessantly? Because Joshua may have been tempted to be discouraged and lacking courage. So do you think Joshua gets the message? Amidst all the things that you want in your new pastor, as well as your staff and your elders, the things at which we're going to look this morning are non-negotiable. If you want to have courageous leaders, and I'm telling you, in my role, kind of having a stewardship, so to speak, of over 2,800 churches, we need courageous leaders. We don't need wimps in the pulpit and in our community. We're going to, again, look at these characteristics. We need strong and courageous leaders. And these are the things for which you can pray for your leadership, your pastors now, and your elders, as well as your new pastor. And we're going to pray for our elders, or your elders and staff, at the end of our time together. Here's three things I think you need in courageous leaders. First of all, they need to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. Need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Look at what we read about Joshua in the last chapter of the previous book, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9. "And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom." Now, if you go do research on that phrase, this was a special anointing and endowment of and by the Holy Spirit. Now, all believers in Christ have been baptized and sealed by the Holy Spirit. We all have been baptized and sealed by the Holy Spirit, but not everyone is continually being filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's why the Apostle Paul commands that in Ephesians 5. Now, so it says Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom. Look at this on the screen. This is a definition of that phrase. What is this? It's knowledge, experience, intelligence, insight, and judgment, which can only come from being continually being filled by the Spirit, as the Apostle Paul commands or writes in Ephesians. That sounds like something you want your leaders to have, doesn't it? All those descriptors there. And when I say that your pastors and elders should be led by the Spirit of the Lord, I mean to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and how He is moving and leading and speaking and manifest the qualities, the fruit that comes from abiding in Christ and being filled with the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, all of those characteristics, and to be empowered by the Spirit of God. We've talked throughout this series, we don't want to try to accomplish things in our own strength. And there's a lot of experience here at this church, but we want to be empowered by God and to be led by the Spirit. And this comes from walking with God. Most of you remember that God raised up a young man, a teenager by the name of Jeremiah, to be a spokesman for him to God's people in the southern kingdom of Judah. And he spoke some strong words about if they don't repent from following after other gods, and God is going to bring about this judgment. And so for years, that's what Jeremiah began to preach. And the people said, you're just a windbag. You're just kind of, and they had false prophets who were, in fact, they imprisoned Jeremiah and beat him because they said, you need to pipe down. And so Jeremiah, again, was persecuted. And so there were false prophets, just like there are false teachers we read about in the New Testament. And these false prophets were saying, hey, you know what? Everything is going to be okay. And it subsequently and eventually wasn't, because they were false prophets. And look what God told Jeremiah to tell his people about those who were leading his people astray. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 21, look at this. For the shepherds are stupid. And do not, I don't know about you, but growing up, we never allowed our boys to use that word stupid, right? But here it is in Scripture talking about these false teachers and these shepherds. These shepherds are stupid and they don't inquire of me, of the Lord. Therefore, they have not prospered and all of their flock is scattered. You don't want stupid leaders. Those who don't inquire of the Lord. And by virtue of that, don't prosper and the sheep are scattered. So please pray that you would be led to a pastor, and please pray for your elders and your staff that they would be filled and empowered by the Spirit of the Lord. Secondly, another aspect of courageous leadership is to be a student of the Word of God. If you've been in church very long, you'll recognize the passage of Scripture that we read earlier, but we're going to look at it again. Amidst all of the exhortations to be strong and courageous, God tells Joshua the following. Look at this, verses 7 and 8, chapter 1. Above all, be strong and very courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. And we're going to look at what that word means here in a minute. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night so that you may carefully observe, obey everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Now, this is a good principle, and we've probably recited maybe a passage of Scripture that you memorized back in the day. But this was reserved or given specifically to Joshua. All these commands. And if you look at the primary function of a pastor or elder in Scripture, they are to feed and lead. Feed and lead. Primarily, feed and lead. It's difficult to feed the flock the Word of God if you're not eating and growing on the Word of God yourself. I think that aside from, I mean, as a pastor for 25 years, there's always a temptation to use your study time as your personal devotion time, which is very dangerous because you're reading everything again through the lens of how can I preach this instead of how can I be fed in my own soul. And there are pastors who are guilty of that, using their study time for their own quiet time or their intake of the Word. It's very dangerous. But I think a pastor, a leader, spiritual leader, an elder, staff member ought to have a dedicated time to intake the Word of God, just to let it, to saturate their minds. Some of my greatest aha moments have been just in my daily reading, and sermon series come out of that, or you're led to something through that. So I think you ought to have a consistent intake of the Word of God. It's interesting that the word prosper here, as in then you will prosper, comes from a root word that means to push forward. Look at this on the screen. To push forward. That's what prosper means. I mean, isn't that fitting for Lamar Baptist Church? Your pastors, your leaders, their study, their obedience and meditation on the Word of God will allow Lamar to push forward instead of going backward and just staying still. God also tells Joshua he will have success. Look at this definition of that word, succeed. It means to be heedful of circumstances and potential consequences. To be prudent. That's a far cry from what we might deem a success today. But is that not what you want and need for your church leadership? To be heedful of circumstances and potential consequences because of their grasp and their intake, and their love, and their memorization of the Word of God. That's what you need and want. There's a great example and principle of this in the early church 2000 years ago. As you know, the early church was experiencing incredible growth, and all of a sudden there was this conflict in the church. These Greek-speaking widows weren't getting, this is in Acts chapter 6, in the chapters that precede that, it talks about how everybody was sharing with anyone who had need. But all of a sudden, this complaint manifested itself, which is really in the Septuagint, that's the same word for murmur in the Old Testament. And you know how God looked upon murmuring against Moses, so forth and so on. So this had the potential of causing a church schism or a split 2,000 years ago. And you know, the apostles didn't say, well, y'all go start your own church. We're tired of hearing people gripe and complain. They said, no, this is a legitimate need, but we're going to raise up 7 men to meet it. Because we are going to be committed look at this. I said that enough times. Look at this. Acts chapter 6, verses 2 through 4. The 12 apostles summoned the whole company of the disciples and said, it would not be right for us to give up preaching the word of God to wait on tables or to serve food. Brothers and sisters, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom, whom we can appoint to this service or this duty. And those words in there are the words from which we get our English word deacon. But look at the last verse. But we will devote ourselves to the prayers and to the ministry of the word. The 12 apostles didn't say anything about not meeting that need. They realized it was a legitimate need, but they delegated that responsibility to godly men. And then they stated, this is to what God has called us, to preach the word and to the prayers. There's an article in there, by the way. You know, that's what's beautiful about the body of Christ, specifically Lamar Baptist Church. That God has gifted each of you to serve. In fact, you have deacons who serve various needs in this local body. And they're willing to do that, and you're willing to step up and serve too. But the primary responsibility of your leadership, specifically a new pastor, is to feed and to lead. We see these admonitions that the Apostle Paul gives Timothy as he was the pastor in Ephesus. Look at the 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and teaching. 2 Timothy 2:15, look at this. Be diligent to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, correctly handling or dividing or teaching the word of truth. In fact, one of the pastor's scriptural qualifications, elders, is his ability to teach or handle the word of God. And I know that's what you want for your elders and your staff and your incoming pastor, that they're a student of the word. Let me plead with you to pray for that and to protect your pastor's study time, which I know is so precious and valuable. The last characteristic at which we're going to look when it comes to courageous leadership is the support of the people. You want your leaders to be filled, empowered, and led by the Spirit of God. You want them to be students of the Word, but you want them to have the support of the people. They need the support of the people. It's interesting, before the children of Israel crossed the Jordan, there were a couple of tribes that said, hey, we like this land over here on the east side of the Jordan River, the Transjordan, which is now Jordan. And he said, we'd like to settle here instead of in this land. And Joshua said, okay, great. He said, but why don't you go fight with us, and then after everything is settled, you can come back and settle over here. And so here's what we read in Joshua 1, verses 16 through 18. So after that exchange, that kind of that deal, they answered Joshua, everything you have commanded us, we will do, and everywhere you send us, we will go. We will obey you. Just as we obeyed Moses in everything, certainly the Lord your God will be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your order and does not obey your words and all that you command him will be put to death. Above all, there it is again, be strong and courageous. Don't you know that as Joshua began to take these leadership reins from Moses, that had to be comforting to him, not just to hear it from Moses, who's passing the baton back in the latter part of Deuteronomy, not even from God, who is saying, hey, Joshua, be strong and courageous. But these are his people. who say, hey, we're going to obey you, Joshua, just be strong and courageous. You know, it's one thing for your leaders to be led by the Spirit of the Lord and to be a students of the Word, and through that for God to give them a vision of what He wants them to do. But it's altogether another thing to have the support of the people. Your pastors and staff and elders have been trusted with this great stewardship of you. And they're going to give an account. The writer of Hebrews says they're going to give an account of how well they managed or stewarded you. But you as the church have a great stewardship from God to love and encourage and to pray and to support your church leaders. The writer of Hebrews says this. Look at this. Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to them since they keep watch over your souls. Let me just say parenthetically, that is a daunting stewardship. To keep watch over your souls. That's what your leaders and shepherds do. They're keeping watch over your souls as those who will, look at this, they will give an account so that they can do this with joy and not with grief, because that would be unprofitable for you. Don't you want your leaders to lead with joy instead of grief? So you pray for your leaders, submit to them. While reading through the Old Testament book of Ezra, I came across a passage where it was brought to Ezra. Remember, they were coming back from exile, rebuilding the walls, the temple, and Ezra comes to his attention that many of the Israelites, even those in leadership positions, had married foreigners, which was prohibited by the law. So Ezra was heartbroken, devastated. He falls on his face before God and starts confessing the sin of his people. And while he's weeping and crying here in this open place, the people just kind of, you can imagine how awkward that is. And they come up and they're hearing and seeing Ezra broken and devastated and crying out to God. So they start confessing their disobedience. And then they started taking acts of repentance, the Bible says. And at the end of that, again, all of that was a lengthy exchange of brokenness and confessing and acts of repentance. Here's what they say to Ezra. Look at this, Ezra 10, verse 4. Now get up, Ezra, for this matter is your responsibility, and we support you. So be strong and take action. In other words, Ezra, we know you have a heavy responsibility to help us repent of our rebellion against God, but we support you in that endeavor. So be strong and take action. I think this is a huge aspect of a courageous leaders, is that they know that they are supported by you. You may not agree with every decision, but at the end of the day, they were appointed to serve in a leadership capacity. And this is so comforting, and it allows a leader to lead with courage if they know they have the support of the people. And I think affirmation, I did a deacon training down near Galveston yesterday morning, and telling the deacons that one of their roles is to affirm their pastoral staff, because affirmation is a lost art. But we don't affirm people really until they're dead, which is too late, or they're leaving. I was affirmed more in the last 2 weeks of my stint at Corpus Christi than I was in the previous 12 years. And it's amazing, even through my interim pastorate roles, that I've been so encouraged or been affirmed, and you can't imagine the courage and the strength that you get from that. Some years ago, I had the privilege to, when I was pastoring in San Angelo, I had the privilege to preach a revival in Colorado City. Anybody know where Colorado City, Texas is? Yeah, who cares? Anyway, so I was in Colorado City for Sunday through Wednesday, and I could tell that there was some frustration among the people toward their pastor. Wednesday morning, there was a men's breakfast that I attended, and the guy that picked me up at my motel there in Colorado City, we went to the men's breakfast. There were probably 12 to 14. I can't remember how many guys. But I could tell this guy, I call him Bob. I can't remember what his name is, but I'm going to call him Bob. And I could tell that he had some influence on these men. They were deferring. He wasn't arrogant, probably late 30s, maybe 40 years old, but I could tell he had some influence. So he drove me back to my motel, and I can remember this vividly, sitting in the car in front of my motel door, and I was asking Bob, hey, tell me what's going on with your pastor. He said, well, we're frustrated, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, I don't know all about that. I said, but Bob, your pastor could use a friend. So let me encourage you to take your pastor out to breakfast or lunch and just to ask him about his life, what's going on, how you can pray for him. Don't bring up any kind of a complaint. Just say, hey, Bob, Pastor, I'm here to pray for you. So that conversation probably took, 7-8 minutes. I went back to San Angelo. I got a call 9 to 10 months later from this same pastor. And he said, Jeff, we'd like you to come and speak at a Promise Keepers rally at the high school auditorium. And I said, man, I'd love to. I said, what do you want me to talk on? He said, whatever you told Bob. He said, I have no idea what you said. He said, but he's a changed man and I'm a changed pastor. The power of affirmation and support from the people. You have no idea. Not that you have no idea, but the challenges of a pastor are many. And it's one thing to be empowered by the Spirit of the Lord and to have a grasp of the Word and to preach the Word of God. It's altogether another thing to have the support of the people. So I encourage you to pray. I had over 60 men praying for me every day at 5:25 p.m. 60 men. Can you imagine the potency of that? 60 men praying for me every day at 5:25. And I realized how powerful that was when I got to the convention and those 60 guys weren't praying for me anymore. So your pastors, let me encourage you to take a day of the week, maybe every day, to pray for your, particularly through this interim time, this transition time, to pray for your elders and your staff. So courageous leadership, that's what you want, that's what you need. So do you think that Lamar Baptist Church is ready for this new season? Maybe give or take a year in transition as you're waiting a new pastor. Consecrate yourself afresh. Walk with God. Commune with Him. Claim the promise that Christ will build His church and we get to be a part of it. And pray for courageous leadership. I asked Joel Skinner earlier this week. Last Sunday as I was sending him the manuscript. Would it be okay if I go back to the piano and play while we have the elders and staff up here and have you come and pray over them? He said, absolutely. So that's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask your elders and your staff who are in here to come and just place themselves standing right here in a line. And then in a moment, I'm going to go to the piano and I'm going to play and we're going to stand. You don't have to stand. In fact, just be seated. But I'm going to encourage you, plead with you to come and maybe just say a prayer over your staff and elders, maybe as individuals. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Okay. We're going to trust that it makes sense. So staff, elders, would y'all come and stand up here? Come on up here. Drew, Jack, Joel. And I'm going to pray, and when I begin to play, or when I get through praying, that's going to be your cue just to come up and lay your hands and pray for these men. And I'm going to encourage many of you to do that. So God, I thank you again for the leadership that you've placed in Lamar Baptist Church for this season. And I pray that they would manifest all the things that we've seen in Joshua, to be led by the Spirit of you, to be students of the Word, and to have the support of your people here. So God, thank you for what you're going to do during this time of transition. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody agreed and said, amen. All right, I'm going to ask you to come up and pray for your staff and elders.